A major international climate summit convened by US President Joe Biden has got underway within the last half an hour, marking the 51st International Earth Day. The online event is being held as new figures show global average surface temperatures have risen by around 1.2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Greenhouse gases are also at their highest levels in 18 years, according to the European State of the Climate Report, which also shows that 2020 was the warmest year on record. In the last few minutes, President Biden addressed the summit and said no nation can solve this climate crisis on its own. Nations have to step up.
You know, those that do take action and make bold investments in their people and clean energy future will win the good jobs of tomorrow and make their economies more resilient and more competitive. So let's run that race. Win more sustainable future than we have now. Overcome the existential crisis of our times. We know just how critically important that is, because scientists tell us that this is the decisive decade. This is the decade we must make decisions that will avoid the worst consequences of the climate crisis.
President Joe Biden speaking at the beginning of that climate summit just in the last half an hour. Well, here the government's climate bill was introduced in the Dáil yesterday, committing this country to zero emissions by 2050. Sive O'Neill is policy coordinator with Stop Climate Chaos, a coalition of 36 Irish organisations that lobbies for climate action. She joins us now. A very good afternoon to you, Sive, and thanks for taking our call. What's the significance, do you think, of this particular summit? Not necessarily in itself as a gathering, but the fact that we can see now once again, apparently, the United States taking leadership on this issue.
Well, the United States is trying to reassert its place, I suppose, in the global conversation about climate action. The Paris Agreement makes it very clear that each individual country is supposed to step up and do its fair share. And as a leading emitter with very high per capita emissions, with a huge historical contribution to climate change, it's vital that the United States asserts a global and moral leadership over this issue. Because if it doesn't, there is no incentive for any other countries, including China, to step up as well. So this summit is very important, but it's really playing catch up because, of course, the US bowed out and wasn't contributing constructively to international climate diplomacy over the past 5 years. What's particularly interesting about the US approach, though, is that they're not just looking at it in terms of emissions and targets. They're actually making the transformation of their energy system the driver of innovation, growth and job creation post-COVID. And I think there's a lesson there for the Irish government to take as well, that we don't have to think about emissions and climate action in isolation from the economy. Post-COVID, we're going to need to invest in green infrastructure and lots of ways to revitalise our economies in ways that reduce carbon pollution and at the same time support biodiversity.
Yeah, we have this have taken up this very demanding target of zero emissions or carbon neutrality by 2050. In the immediate term, what kind of changes do you think that means for the way we go about our daily lives?
Well, just like the United States, Ireland is really just playing catch up here. Because we didn't act in the last 10 years when we had the opportunity to do so, we now have much more onerous targets to reach by 2030. It's important to think about carbon pollution as coming from a few key areas. Fossil fuels, that's petrol, diesel, oil, gas, peat and coal. Then you have ruminant livestock that are emitting methane, nitrogen fertilizers, and of course, industrial gases. So we have to think about where the pollution is coming from. And when you look at it in terms of our transport systems, which are predominantly car-based and very polluting, when you think about our buildings and our heating systems, predominantly based on expensive fossil fuels, instead of using more renewable energy and obviously much better insulated housing. And when you think about our agricultural system, which is very dependent, over-dependent on livestock production, there are lots of opportunities for us to target emission reductions in ways that reduce air pollution, that support biodiversity, and that create jobs.
Right, but the key here is how all this can be achieved in a way that's just and fair, and that the cost yes. is spread and carried by everyone. I'm looking at today's Farmers Journal, the front page headline, Farmers Face Cuts to Herd Sizes and Fertiliser Use. You've referred to it, the numbers in relation to the national herd, a reduction of 400,000 cattle and slashing of fertiliser use on farms, they say. Now, that's something that people in the agriculture sector will look on today with horror and say, are we going to have to carry the can here and carry the cost?
Well, that's an industry that has benefited from the lack of policy and lack of regulation in the last 10 years. So this bill is about creating a whole of government framework. It's not targeting any one sector. It's not trying to pit rural against urban or urban against rural. It sets legally binding targets for all sectors of the economy, and that cover all. It contributes 35% of all our emissions at the moment.
I think we're having
but
some
problems.
But a
10%
problems.
Emission reduction from agriculture.
Sorry, Sive, you're just breaking.
Can you hear me now?
Your line is just breaking up. Sorry, just try again. We just had a little bit of dropout there.
I was just explaining that agriculture contributes 35% of all our greenhouse gases. So a 10% methane reduction by 2030 is really insufficient. And it would mean that other sectors would require much more onerous and punitive reductions of somewhere in the order of 70%. And that's clearly very unfair and doesn't do anything for climate justice. So I think we have to see that there's a window of opportunity here for agriculture to diversify away from dairy intensification, from commodity markets, and there's an opportunity to harness the potential for more domestic food production, agroforestry, horticulture, organic and premium products, and basically, right. you know, expand away our reliance on livestock because this is a right. polluting form of agriculture that's okay. also having an impact on biodiversity.
All right, so Ivani, we'll leave it there, and no doubt it's a story we'll be returning to again and again in the time ahead. Sive O'Neill from Stop Climate Chaos. More after this short break.